Welcome to the Overdrive Outdoors Podcast,
your source for everything outdoors.
Let's kick it into overdrive.
Overdrive Outdoors Podcast, brought to you by Predator Hunter Outdoors. Whether you are new to predator hunting or looking to upgrade your equipment, Predator Hunter Outdoors will have you hunting after the sun goes down. Carrying a full line of lights, night vision, and thermal optics, along with tripods, calls, mounting systems, and more, check them out at www.predatorhunteroutdoors.com or on Facebook at Predator Hunter Outdoors. Use promo code OVERDRIVE2021 for 20% off your order. Want to lengthen your time in the field and shorten your scouting time? Not only does the HuntWise app show you property boundaries, landowners' names, and in some cases even their phone number, but using the app will show you the wind direction on the map of the place you want to hunt. And the HuntCast feature shows peak movement times for various species, including predators. Get the HuntWise app at www.huntwise.com, the Google Play Store, or the Apple App Store. For only $59.99 a year for Pro or $119.99 a year for Elite. Use promo code OVERDRIVE20 for 20% off an annual membership.
Hey everybody, I wanted to just say thank you again for everybody that's clicked on play this week. We're going to be talking to Tony Bonansegna, Mountain Lodge Outdoors, and Kevin Roth this week. And the conversation is going to be about the ATA and SHOT Shows. If that's something that interests you, this is going to be one that you might like. I've never been to one, so I wanted some information about them. They look awesome from the outside, I can just say that much. So I wanted to pick their brains a little bit about what they were there for, what they saw, what they liked, what they didn't like. And as always, we get into a little bit of coyote hunting talk, tournament talk this coming weekend, actually. The day you guys will be listening to this podcast, the tournament will be the following day, Friday. We get to talking about that just a little bit there, kind of on a tangent in the middle. But yeah, once again, thank you all for clicking play. If you wouldn't mind subscribing to us, if you like what you hear, leave us a review. We really appreciate it. Also, if you don't know us from Facebook, Instagram, our YouTube channel, we'd love to have you all there talking hunting and everything else in between. So thank you all once again. Enjoy this week's episode. All right, everybody. Welcome back once again to the Overdrive Outdoors Podcast. This week, we got none other than Kevin Rott and the bearded Buckeye, Tony Bonansegna. What's going on, guys?
Oh, you know, just over here stroking my beard. Is that
bearded Buckeye or bearded brown eye?
I think they're hand in hand sometimes. Yeah. I was just down in Ohio, 2 weeks ago now? Same week you went to ATA, Tony, I was down in Ohio, and I drove for, a foot of snow here, a little more than a foot of snow, and they had, dusting there. I would have liked to.
I can tell you were in Ohio, though. You started growing some facial hair.
I did. Thank you.
I see that. That's the Ohio testosterone seeping in through your pores.
See, my wife doesn't agree, but I tell her that my grays and everything are all, there's one for every year I've been married. And she don't believe that, though.
Oh, God, I got 12 for every year I've been married.
Kevin doesn't have much hair, so.
I blame mine on my kids.
Yeah, I'm getting there, too. I'm getting there too.
So, I blame mine on your kids.
So I wanted to talk to you guys tonight because Kevin just got back from the SHOT Show, which is a big outdoor industry show. Tony did the ATA show. When was that? That was the beginning of January.
First week of January.
Yeah. So I wanted, I've never been to one. I've been invited to a couple. I was going to go to the ATA as a ride along with Tony this year, but that was my grandma's funeral weekend ended up being that weekend. So I didn't make it to that. SHOT Show with ATN is where Kevin went. I'm hoping to make it to one of them eventually, but I've never been to them. So I just wanted to kind of talk about your guys' experiences that you had. Kevin, you were in Vegas, right?
Yes.
For how long?
Flew in Monday, got in around midnight, and then left Friday at like 1:30 in the afternoon.
Okay. Tony, how long were you at ATA?
We rolled in there Friday, but media can't get in the show till Saturday. So we had Saturday and Sunday at ATA. We always get there a little early just because we like going out on town a little bit. So
yep.
We rolled in Friday night
and
left Sunday morning.
Was ATA this year packed like it usually seems to be?
No, not at all. But, you know, the trade show industry across the board, whether it's the ag shows, tractors, things like that, dental hygienist trade shows, no matter what trade show it is, the whole industry's down 36%. Because I checked into this because it was kind of weird, like walking through ATA and it being as open as it was, not crowded. And the ATA was a little bit lower than the whole trade show industry standard. It was 40% down from overall attendance. And that's vendors, like people that actually have a booth there, to people that want to come in and buy, to guys like me and our team for media, which, you know, they don't care if we show up or not, because we're just there to ask for their money. Yeah. You know, and it was kind of nice that it was thinned out, because everybody that we needed to talk to was still there and there wasn't as much traffic. You know, we could just walk around and hit the booths we wanted to hit and have our conversations, and it was done. Then we just got to go relax and have a good time. But it was different. It really was different.
So now, one thing I've always kind of wondered, the ATA is Archery Trade Association, is it not?
It is. It is very heavily bow hunting, archery driven. That is the whole backing of that. Whereas, you know, where Kevin went to shot, that's more the pew-pew life. You know, that's shooters. It's a whole different demographic and a whole different group of people. And there's some overlap, but that's a different world.
Well, aren't there a lot of non-bow hunting related stuff at the ATA?
I mean, you've got your, you know, broad spectrum hunting products. I mean, you've got blinds and things like that, which obviously could be gun hunting stuff, you know. And there was actually a lot of cool new products this year. I've got a couple of cards upstairs that I'm waiting until like mid-February to call, because I know they had the rest of trade show season. They're traveling. They're going to be busy till at least mid-February, if not the end of February. But there was some really cool new products. Simple stuff, but stuff that would save guys like you and me a lot of time. With the one that we're going after real big is, it's just like a little jar of rope, and it's got a cutter on top of it. And it's like paracord, but it's not paracord. It's flat and it's braided. And every quarter inch has a cross stitch. So once the end frays a little bit, it won't fray any farther. And it welds with heat, just like paracord. It's a really awesome product, and it's simple. And they've got different size canisters. They've got, you know, like a little small 750 footer for your go bag, but then they got a 1200 footer that you put in the truck. You know, it's just cool product and limitless damn applications.
Well, and I mean, thinking Archery Trade Association, I always thought it'd be, you know, the bow companies there with their new bows, the arrow companies with their new arrow designs, fletching companies. I didn't know that there, until I looked at stuff people posted from it, it sounds like it's just basically just a hunting show.
Yeah, it's basically the entire hunting industry is there. Yes, it's archery driven, but this year, man, I think there was maybe two or three bow manufacturers there. All big names didn't go.
Yeah, I read that.
They just didn't go. And I think it was because last year they did the virtual thing, and they came out of the virtual thing realizing that they didn't lose anything and they didn't have to spend the money to go to that show. And so now they're going, do we even need it?
Yeah.
I hope they reconsider and think they do, because I love going to the show. I need it to foster relationships with my sponsors and keep that stuff on good keel. But I don't know if they will. I don't know if it'll ever go back to how it used to be.
So you work with the company that is over Hawk Tree Stands, right? What's that company?
That is GSM Outdoors. They have roughly 42 brands now.
After this fall, did you talk them into building you a stand with an elevator up so that you didn't cry all the way up the steps?
I showed them like the thing from Kings Island where you get in and drop the shoulder straps over and it just lifts you up in the air. And I was like, something like this. That's what I need. I need a hydraulic hoist to run me up a tree where I can step out of it and get on a platform. And they said, yeah, we can't do that. It wasn't economically feasible for their game plan for 2022. So we're going to try again in 2023 and see if the elephant airlift is available.
Isn't there something like that? Isn't there something like that that a company devised for handicapped hunters?
Yes. Yes, there is. I don't know what it's called.
Well, I need it, whatever it is.
It basically goes up like a chain up the tree.
Yeah. Motor powered. And yeah, I think and everything. Right.
Oh, sign me up.
I don't know what
kind of climb and my legs aren't shaking and you don't hear that weird squeak from certain parts of me clenching up while I'm climbing. Yeah, that'd be great.
That squeak was what I called you screaming every time this year.
Yeah, that wasn't my mouth.
let me see here. This, I'm going to look up that tree stand real quick.
So where exactly was the ATA this year, Tony?
That was in Louisville. It'll probably be in Louisville again next year. And then it'll go either 1 year or 2 years in Indy. Okay. They've just been bouncing back and forth between those two towns. I don't think they entertain Columbus or I think that might have been the only other place they had it. I think there was a year before I went, they had it in Columbus. And I don't know if you've ever been to Columbus, but there's no reason to go back. So I'm hoping they stick with Indy and Louisville. I like Louisville a little better than Indy. I just have a little better time there. I know my way around the town a little better, but it's fun at both places.
I can't find the name of that tree stand right this second, but there is an automatic one that climbs up and down, just so you know.
I'm just going to go after a sponsorship from Greenpeace and see if they've got like a whale lift or something that can get me to the top of a tree.
This John Deere bucket.
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin, SHOT Show, what is SHOT Show mostly? I mean, is it all firearm stuff?
SHOT actually stands for Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trade Show. So they have everything. Now, the thing that I seen the least of would have been archery. So that's where the ATA comes in on that.
Yep.
But other than that, it's anything shooting, hunting, and outdoors with an emphasis kind of like Tony said on firearms, but it covers everything from military and law enforcement all the way through hunting. So you see a little bit of everything. Like Tony said, I mean, Primos was there. They had, you know, their Spy Point was there, a bunch of different trail cam companies. You had blinds, you had ammunition manufacturers, reloading supply manufacturers, gun manufacturers, and then different retailers for everything in between on top of the manufacturers. Even things like Duracoat was there. Lucky Duck was there. Icotech was there. Fox Pro was not there this year. I talked to Al Morris and he said that they basically got hit with COVID is why they didn't show up. That being said, Tom Austin was there. I think he was there for TNBC. So really a little bit of everything.
Okay. And you said 4 days there?
Yeah.
But you didn't get to do a whole lot of walking around.
No, because I was there to work the booth for ATN. So like when they gave us a lunch break, we could go wander around. And then before we started or after we were done, we had time to walk around a little bit. But there's the main floor that we were on. Then there's a whole nother floor down below. And then on the outlying parts, there was probably another floor or two worth, but it was on the same level, just different parts of the convention center. Mm-hmm. I know guys that go there and they'd go there kind of like what Tony does just to walk around and talk to companies. And they say, even in those 3-4 days, you'd be hard pressed to see it all. I mean, it's a really big outfit.
So did you see the demographic of the crowd leaning one way or the other between like tactical prepper type guys versus 3-gun competition shooters or media? Like, I mean, how did the crowd seem to lean? Like, was it, or was it mostly guys with shops that wanted to say, I want this product on my shelves?
Yes, all of them. In terms of people that stopped by our booth, we actually seen a lot of military and law enforcement stop by, but we also seen a lot of retailers. There was other companies that stopped by wanting to talk about partnerships. We had, there was only a few media people that stopped by. Mainly the media people would stop by to talk to people other than us brand ambassadors. You know, they wanted to talk to, you know, like Steve Lemonov, who was the director of marketing, or they wanted to talk.
You got to tend to find those guys that are, you know, at the top of the pay grade to get them to give the thumbs up on that stuff.
Right. And you did have some media guys too, like Varminer Extreme Magazine was there. There's a few other ones that were walking around too. So there's a little bit of everything. And then again, there was a lot of representatives from like 3-Gun and stuff like that, that were walking around. I know that like Lena Mikulik was there, Jerry Mikulik's daughter. There was a bunch of other ones too. You could see them because they always had, you know, the sponsored shirts on with all their sponsors' names and all that.
Looked like a bass tournament.
Yeah. Right. And then you had, you know, there was hunting industry people there. Kendall Jones walked by at one point. All I did was catch her. She was walking away. I missed her walking by. Dan Henderson was there working with some company. I don't know which company he was there, but everyone was talking about the big crowd as he walked around. And I mean, usually like Ted Nugent was there, but he wasn't there this year. You see a bunch of the celebrities from the industry. Last year, Jim Shockey was there. Of course, this year he wasn't. So you see a bunch of those people too.
He's got a lot going on right now.
Yeah, he does.
We didn't get to see him at ATA this year either. So Everybody was kind of sending virtual, I don't know what you call that, hugs and all that kind of stuff to him.
Shows of support.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, man, the older we get, there's a shortage of class acts left in the industry, and he's one of them. I mean, that dude, he laid the foundation for the industry, really. To me, to go out and have basically nothing and decide he wanted to guide for a living and turn it into what he has and do it with, I don't think there's ever been a crossword said about the guy. I mean,
not from anyone other than anti-hunters.
Showing support across the industry is a big deal, whether it's shot, archery, you know. I think that was a message that a lot of conversations were based around at ATA this year, was people saying how this last year or two has really kind of shown some true colors from people and businesses and a lot of other things, and that we got to stick together more than ever.
I think Go Wild, that other social media app. His founder, Brad Luttrell, was at SHOT, and he actually did a big presentation, and that was a focus of his presentation. And he quoted Steve Ranella several times talking about how important social media is to the industry and the trends that are going on with social media right now. And I think they touched on some of that.
Just the constant back and forth bickering and arguing.
Yeah, we just, you know, the core thing is that we need to come together and quit the bickering and backstabbing and fighting and all that, because on one, it divides all of us together so that we're not coordinated towards our goals as outdoorsmen, but also because it places a really bad image on the industry as a whole when you see people acting the way that we've all seen them act.
Well, no matter what it is, there's somebody's always got to be the best. And that's where the problem comes in on social media, I think.
It's a highlight reel. Yeah. You know, and the ones that kind of get pushed to the side are the ones that bring any level of reality to it and show the stuff that the rest of them don't want to show because, oh my God, heaven forbid, I missed. I shot something that wasn't 160 inches, you know. I mean, you don't have to go too far back in history for quotes, man. I mean,
right.
Either we all hang together or we all hang separately.
And that's the other thing, too. You can have several companies that are all good at something. That doesn't mean you have to put all the other ones down just because you want more attention to yours.
Exactly.
I mean, it comes back to, I remember this lesson in school where they talked about customer service, how you used to be able to walk into a store and ask for product X. And they're like, well, we don't have product X, but our competitor store over there does have it. Go get it from them. I mean, nowadays it's like, well, you don't want to buy that. You want to buy what we have. And that's just, I mean, that's what causes a lot of this drama, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, we see it all the time.
Well, I mean, one of them that we're all kind of right in the middle of because of our, you know, tendency towards coyote hunting and night hunting, and me coming from the other side of it. You know, I mean, I shot Pulsar for how many years? 4 or 5 years. And to come over and start shooting ATN scopes, there's a lot of things I like better about the ATNs. I'm not saying Pulsar doesn't have a few things figured out, because there are things about those scopes that are nice. But, you know, the arguments that you see pop up on Facebook and stuff where people say, oh, those are garbage, those are trash, this is trash, that's trash. No, they're not. Do you want to be able to go out and hunt 9 hours straight and not change your battery? Okay, well, you probably better buy an ATN, because if you buy the Pulsar, you're going to carry 3 batteries with you. But do you want a picture in a picture? Or do you want to be able to zoom? You know, make your choice. That, I mean, there's a list of things, and it's down to personal preference. Yeah. And they turned that into something we're supposed to argue about instead of a consumer choice thing. And, you know, that shouldn't be how it is. Like, no. It's nothing worth us pitting ourselves against each other over, well, I'd rather have a battery I don't have to worry about changing, and this guy over here wants to have picture in a picture when he shoots a coyote. More power to you, dude. I'll hunt right next to you.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah,
right. You know, no problem.
As long as the coyote ends up dead at the end, that's the end goal.
Right. Yeah. Let's go kill him. You know, and I think a lot of people have lost sight of that, right? Because they've gotten so caught up in, well, this company sponsors me, or, you know, I'm an ambassador for this company. And no, that doesn't mean you have to talk trash about the other one.
Exactly.
It just means you have to showcase the highlights of the product that you're using, tell why you like it. But somebody else is going to make another choice. They're going to make another choice. You know, they may want something completely different in a thermal scope or a bow release or their arrows. I mean, I shoot different arrows than Isaac shoots because we believe different things about pass-through and kinetic energy. And, you know, as hunters, that's choices we're allowed to make. It doesn't mean we have to argue.
And especially because you have so many choices. I mean, exactly. There's tons of stuff out there. Look at the features you want, the price point you can afford, and go with what you want. Now, like you said, Tony, I don't care what the guy next to me is using. I just want to go out and hunt and have fun.
See, unless he's unsuppressed, and then you throw rocks at him.
If I can still hear where they're at.
Sorry.
On that subject, both of you being at these two other shows with all these different companies in the same area, how many fistfights broke out?
You know,
not one.
No, I actually didn't hear of any negativity at all. Actually, everyone got along really well from what I've heard. I mean, shoot, the Pulsar guys came over and checked out our booth. I know some of our guys went over to their booth. Yep. Everyone seemed to get along well. I didn't hear of any problems. I mean, that doesn't mean in 800,000 square feet there wasn't one somewhere, but I didn't hear of anything. You know, people come up and tell you what they think of the product since you're working at the booth. I mean, that was almost all positive this year. I didn't really hear of anything.
Yeah, so that just basically proves that it's not the people that are big in the company that do the trash, and it's all the little guys that do it for no reason.
Because right. The big guys know you're going to buy one or the other. I mean, whatever. You know, we're going to get your money eventually. They don't care. You know, they move on with their day, and they're fine.
Yeah.
But, like, it wasn't this year, but the last ATA before this one that I got to go to, which I guess would be three years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago. 3 years ago, whatever. I think it was Scentlock and Scentcrusher were right next to each other. And it was all pretty good natured because, like, Scentcrusher would do their big go live, give away, throwing t-shirts, throwing bags, throwing, you know, their scent crusher lockers out, doing all these drawings. And during the drawing, here comes the big robot, like smoke shooting out of it, scent lock robot, because they got a guy in a robot suit that's like 9 foot tall, and he walks around the show, and he'd come over in the middle of the giveaway. It was good natured stuff, but yeah. Because they were rivals, they were right next to each other on purpose. They did that on purpose because they wanted to be right next to the people they're directly competing against. Yeah. And nobody ever got in a fight. Nobody ever got in an argument. They just were being competitively playful.
Yep.
It's guys like us that take crap way too serious and get all bent out of shape about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're going to hear a little bit of that next weekend at the tournament.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of it. I mean, we're going to be riding in the Ford.
I'm glad I talked you into going, by the way, because I know you weren't going to go, because you're one that gets just as dick bent as anybody else about stuff, and you let it bother you, and then you don't go.
I'm going to stick to the small ones after this. I like the ones, man, this isn't even a tournament conversation, but we're going to get into this.
Absolutely.
I like the ones that don't have the giant payout, that doesn't dig so deep to get, quite frankly, the assholes involved.
Well, and my argument to that is I don't come hunt that tournament to win it.
Oh, I know. I mean, I know.
If we have a stellar night where everything, just the stars align and the coyotes just roll out and lay there in front of us, let us stomp them in the head, sure, I'd love to win. But I come up there to hunt with you, to hunt with Ryan, to see everybody at check-in and stuff. I mean, I get to see Kevin maybe twice a year on a good year, you know. So I come up there to see everybody. I don't care if I win. There's guys come up there, like, their whole reputation is riding on that tournament.
You know what?
If that's the biggest thing they got going on that year, man, okay. More power to you. I hope you win. I got more important crap going on. I'm up here to see my buddies, have a good weekend of hunting, and move on with my life.
And
that's how I think most of them look at it. And the select few that don't are the ones that make it where you're like, man, what a douche canoe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly it. If they all filled up with people who are just there because they want to hunt, they want to see their friends, they want to talk to people and just have a good time, I don't think there'd ever be a problem. But, you know, anyways, yeah. Back to the shows. Went off on a tangent there.
Well, you know, we had to talk about coyote hunting a little bit. It's us three.
Oh, we will. We can talk about that here at the end here. So, Tony, you mentioned, you know, the role of paracord or whatever you're talking about there. Was there anything else that caught your eye big time that you thought either A, that's got no place? I mean, you don't have to call it directly. Was there anything you saw that you thought would be like you're creating a problem that wasn't there? Or is there anything that you saw that is absolutely, I'm going to have that?
There is a blind, a ground blind, and it's not even really a blind. It's like, I guess the best way I can describe it is a, the umbrella for those backyard patio tables with the adjustable neck to them. You can point them in different directions.
Yeah.
Well, this ground blind looks like one of those umbrellas, and then it's got like a wraparound edge to it where you can kind of brush yourself in. It is a quick, light carry-in blind. It's got shooting holes everywhere, filming holes everywhere. They're all Velcros, or not Velcro, they're all zippers, and they're very quiet zippers, because I checked them to see how loud they were.
That's one thing I check on anything I buy.
After you busted my chops for clearing my throat hunting Michigan public land, I check zipper volume now.
Big buck.
I didn't cough when he was there. If I recall, someone prematurely discharged their bow release.
I didn't know it was loaded. All right. I didn't know it was loaded.
Yeah. Okay, Baldwin.
That video will come out at some point.
Yeah, it's actually queued up to be edited here in the next week or so. If I didn't have this tournament to hunt, I'd probably do it this weekend.
Okay, so that umbrella.
Yeah, it's Cooper Outdoors, and they've got all kind of different patterns. They've got like a grassland waterfowl type pattern, which I'm going to buy for behind my house because I'm going to kill a goose off of this river. I've got 4 AVNX floaters coming from GSM, and I'm going to get one of those blinds to put down here. But for turkey season, running, gunning the way I like to, and a lot of times you find yourself in a place where there's no cover, like just nothing. And to just sit my big ass up against a tree, and they're like, I'm not going down there. That bear's going to eat me. You know, I don't care if he's got a gun or not. Look at him. So I need something to kind of block me and be able to shoot out of. And this thing was, I mean, it wasn't like anything I'd ever seen. And it was very simple, easy concept, but nobody else come up with it. So, yeah, that's one I'm definitely – I've got his card laying right by the keyboard on my computer. I'm supposed to call him here in a couple weeks, and hopefully we can get something worked out.
So is there anything in particular you saw that just wasn't, like, you just couldn't see it?
Didn't need to be?
Yeah, I mean, that at least you couldn't see a use for it. And we're not really trashing anybody here before we get into this. We're just talking here because
I really didn't see anything that there just wasn't a use for. There were a lot of new apps. That's one thing I did see a lot of booths popping up this year that I hadn't seen in years previous. There were a lot of apps. And like there was one that was actually pretty useful for people that like to shoot a bow and just don't know where to go around them. Like me, you know, me and Jesse moving up here, I don't know where bow shops are or archery ranges around here. Well, this app actually brought you into contact with all the archery shops around you, told you what events they were having. And, you know, he's in the process of getting more archery shops signed up and things to participate in it, to where you can find a 3D shoot or a weekly competition shoot near you with this app. And then you can say, okay, well, I'm shooting in it, and then invite people to it and stuff like that. That was the one that I saw that was useful. A lot of the other ones were just repeats of stuff that already exists. Yeah. And that was probably the only thing I saw that was like, yeah, we got 15 booths here that probably just don't need to be here because they're never going to be a base map, an Onyx hunt, a hunt map. What's the one you guys use? Yeah, I like the one you guys use because yeah, hunt-wise, you've pulled that up a few times around me, and the features on that are actually pretty damn cool. I really do like that app. I like my Onyx, but there's certain things about hunt-wise that I like a little better. Not even better. It's kind of a, you
just
know,
different functionality. Thing.
Yeah, different stuff that one doesn't have and the other one does. So, you know, there was 14 or 15 of those booths. But other than that, no, it was a really good show. And I think everybody came out of it just as productive as ever, even though the traffic was down a little bit, because the people that needed to be there were there.
Yeah.
I think most of the videos I've seen talking about attendance lean towards the same thing. It was most of us media folk that weren't there. And that doesn't hurt my feelings. You know, if the competition thinned out, that's less, you know, XYZ Outdoors trying to take away money that I'm trying to get. That sounds shallow, but, you know, it's the truth.
It's OD, thank you.
Yeah, OD. Well, I'll get you there next year, and we're going to make some stuff happen. But we got some filming to do this year before we can get to all that.
We're hoping. So, Kevin, SHOT Show for you is probably your place to be. I mean, it's all your kind of your.
I'm a firearms enthusiast, so yes, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So, in the time that you did have to walk around and look, was there anything particular that caught your eye that you thought, man, that's really cool?
I specifically went to a few companies in my spare time that I wanted to go to, a couple of suppressor manufacturers. One of the things I noticed is how many more companies now are coming out with suppressors. like Arrow Precision is coming out with their own line of suppressors. They were so new, they didn't even have any there yet. And they, well, I take that back. I think they had one on the wall, but they didn't even have them in a catalog yet. So there's a lot of companies coming out with suppressors now, which is a really booming part of the industry.
Nosler as well, I saw.
Yeah, I just got an email when I got back. I seen that Nosler's even coming out with their own now. I did see one product that actually wasn't too far from our booth, and I have the flyer. I grabbed some of their literature. I have it in the house, but it was, I think it was called Gear Stow or Gear Holder or something like that. But all they did is they made like lanyards and stuff to hold stuff. And it could be anything from tactical to they had a whole line of hunting. And you can get different ones based on the weight of what it is you're trying to hold. And I was actually thinking something like that might be really good to have a retractable lanyard for holding a call or like your remote for your caller. There's a couple of things that they had there that were kind of interesting. A lot of the stuff I would say I seen is just either new lines of product or improvements to existing products. I mean, like Bergara had some new rifles out with a chassis, and you're seeing a lot more companies going with carbon fiber wrap barrels. That seems to be a trend you're seeing from a lot more companies trying to cut that weight down on their guns. Still seeing a lot of guns going to chassis instead of a traditional stock.
Now, what do you mean there?
Yeah, because I have no clue.
Okay, so
that's the funniest part. Kevin, I brought your name up probably a dozen times at ATA because I ran into people that are like, oh man, you coyote hunt a lot. And talking about the rifles, I'm like, dude, I just pulled a trigger.
You don't even clean it.
I have Josh clean my rifle every time I come up for GLRPC. I barely know how to clean this thing. I said, if you want somebody to build you a rifle, I said, get a hold of this guy. And I told everybody, I said, he knows inside and out. He knows these rifles. He knows what he's talking about. Go to him. And because I don't know what you say chassis, I'm like, I'm thinking of my old truck. Like, right? But
Kevin, yeah,
the old Ranger chassis fits under the Bronco 2 from 1986. That's close as I get.
Kevin built my 243 AR-10, and I've already told him multiple times, if Alicia ever walks out or anything, I'm marrying that gun. That gun is, that's my baby.
You're building me one this year. It's happening. I'm done pussyfooting around with it. That gun's happening this year.
Good.
Just build me the one you built him. What'd that cost?
You'd have to ask him. I don't remember off the top of my head.
What'd that cost when Alicia's not around?
$1.
$1. That's funny. That's what most of mine cost when Jesse is in the room.
What gun?
Well, Kevin, anything particular coming out from ATN this year that intrigued you more than any other?
Well, surprisingly, they only had a couple things coming out that were new at the show this year. And one is the new Odin monocular, which can be either helmet mounted or handheld.
And really?
Yeah, it only weighs 11 ounces.
Yeah, that thing's tiny. I mean, I saw the pictures of it. It's little.
It's very little.
So clarity wise, is that about like that? What's the OTS?
You're talking about your OTS 4T?
Yeah.
Right now, same
clarity.
It will be. Right now, the one they have that's available is a 320 core.
Okay. So
it's going to be less than that. But from what I understand, the plan is to offer it in a 640 core here probably sometime this year.
No kidding.
And a 640, I think that thing is going to be slick.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's half the weight of.
Oh, yeah. Or less. Like I said, it's only 11 ounces.
Half, it might be more than half because that right. The other one's up there.
Right. And this one, this is an additional rechargeable battery pack. So if you use just a standard CR123, it's even smaller yet.
Wow.
So the CR123 fits basically flush. So, I mean, it's even smaller yet. Otherwise, you can use the rechargeable pack on it.
For the people just listening to this, he's actually showing us this thing right now. So, you know, don't just think he's standing in front of the camera doing the helicopter dance. And we're just wowing all of this.
It's even smaller without the battery.
It's even smaller when you take this off.
Right. So, and ATN is releasing their own helmet for that also, right?
They are. Well, they're going to have, it's an adapter that attaches to the helmet.
Okay.
They are, I don't think there's plans on doing a helmet, but if you look in the, it's big in the tactical world. And that's one of the things that, from what I understand, as they had in mind, was talking about the military requirements for this, like for weight and everything else. If you look in the tactical world, that's kind of a standard mount that's on most of your helmets for like night vision goggles and everything else. So they're going to have their own mount that will attach to the existing helmet setup.
What was that headgear flip down picture you posted? Was that something that was that from ATN's booth or yeah. was that, what was that? Cause you posted a picture of some helmet mount flip down.
Yeah. That's what they will have available for. Okay. And that just attaches okay. to an existing helmet.
I got you.
On their website, they show a headset and a headset mount.
Right. Oh, they do. Yeah. Well, okay. So the headset is going to be more like a lightweight frame that you can put over something, or it can be helmet mounted. It can be either one.
Okay. So it's almost depends. Like a GoPro head mount style.
Yeah.
Kind yeah. of. Gentlemen, talk amongst yourselves for a moment. I'm going to pour a drink.
Yep. So yeah, it'll be either their framework helmet deal or head mount deal, or it can attach to an existing helmet. The only other thing that they released was the new electronic ear protection, which can Bluetooth to your phone. You can talk and listen to it from your phone to the headset. It amplifies quiet noises and obviously cuts out loud noises. So those are the only two things that they had at the show this year.
Yeah, and you sent me those and said, this is for you while you wait on your suppressor. I am still waiting. Hang on a second here. I got to unmute Tony again. Tony, unmute. There you go.
Seriously, you muted me so I can mix a drink?
I did. I didn't want to hear you. Well, is there anything else either of you had that you wanted to mention for either show?
You know, I guess in terms of the SHOT Show, it is really nice to go out and see, make connections with manufacturers when you're at those shows and see a lot of the new products and actually be able to hold them in your hands before they get released. So that is a nice aspect to it. And again, meeting all the people. For me, working the booth, it was nice to hear people come up to me, and especially from like military and law enforcement side, to say why they like the product and what they use the product for. There's a couple of interesting stories that were shared with me from law enforcement, military folks there about how they're using the products. And then to have people come up and say, okay, I carry these in my store, but I don't know anything about them. Can you walk me through it? And then to actually go through the product with them, show them the functions, explain how things work. I like that one-on-one interaction with people. And that's what took up the bulk of my time, you know, working at the booth, was that type of stuff. I mean, that's why they have us there. Yep. They want people to actually use the stuff in the field so they can relate to the people coming to ask about the product. And that's an enjoyable part of it. You get to meet a lot of people. I mean, there's people from different countries there. There's people from all over the U.S. there and from all different walks of life.
Yeah, I know people. Is the ATA the same way? People fly in from other countries?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's people from everywhere.
Huh. I would have thought ATA would have been smaller than that. I don't know why. I guess just SHOT Show seems to always have a bigger crowd to me. Huh.
Yeah, what you have to think about too is there's probably other countries that you're not even allowed to use a firearm in, so archery might be the only way they can hunt.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a Bo and Luke Duke thing in a lot of places, you know. They arrows are about, that's about all you got.
Right.
They work for a lot of people. One thing I did notice for sure, bowhunting.com, Bow Hunter Die, the show, they had a broadhead review on their YouTube channel. And it seems like the broadhead prices are going to just go up.
Because it doesn't surprise me because raw materials are going up.
Right, exactly. I mean, for
steel they're using, if they want to maintain what they're building and they're not going to cut corners, absolutely, they're going to have to raise their prices.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you right now, and this is deviating from every broadhead I shoot or have ever shot, there is one that was at that show, and I can't afford them. I mean, but it'll be the last one you ever buy if you do buy one, is the Annihilator broadhead. I've personally watched the dude do it. He shot one broadhead, one, through the trunk lid of a car 30 times. And this thing was still intact.
That's impressive.
It's a fixed blade. It's not a mechanical broadhead. It's a fixed blade broadhead. And I think two or three years ago, it won new product of the year at ATA. But man, it's just, it's a destroyer. I mean, it really is an annihilator. I mean, it lives up to the name. Now, do I have any trouble? Like, I made a horrible shot on a doe this year with my hybrid muzzies that are like got two fixed blades and two mechanicals. And it tore that doe up. Like, I hit her in the back hip and it went up into her lungs. It cut so hard into her. So I don't have any problem with what I'm shooting. But man, if I could afford to move up to a broadhead like that, that was a product I saw there that was like head and shoulders above everything else that was walking around, but it was also way more expensive.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, if you're I mean, I think it was something like $30-some per broadhead.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw one last year at a local store here, and it was like $40 or $50 for a little wooden box. And I'm like, oh, that's a small package, and there's only one in it. Nope, not
now you know how your wife feels.
Yeah, I know. Oh, this is why we all have.
I'm sorry. I'm on drink number three. That's what you get. I live with it.
Was that broadhead a chisel point?
No, it's just a cutter, man. I mean,
cut on contact?
Yes.
Really?
It's vicious. Wow. It is vicious. Look it up. Annihilator. And the guy's actually just barely across the South Ohio border into Kentucky. Great dude. I've been friends with him for 3 or 4 years now, and we've tried to hunt together a couple times, but both of us, our schedules are ridiculous and hadn't happened. But yeah, they're insane, man. I mean, if you want to spend the money and probably be the last broadhead you ever buy, spend $90 to $100 and buy three of them and just never buy a broadhead again.
So
they're pretty impressive.
With you being actually not too far away from that trade show, did you meet a lot of or see a lot of people there that you already knew? Obviously you had contacts there that you've already been dealing with, but
I ran into quite a few, a couple of them, like you said, you know, they'd walk up to me like, "Hey Tony, how you doing?" I'm going, "How you doing, buddy?" And you know, then they'd remind me who they were, and I'm like, "Okay, we've only seen each other on social media. I barely know what you look like as a human." And then we'd move on from there. But yeah, I ran into a lot of people that I talk to all the time virtually and never really see. And that's the fun part of it. I mean, that's why I hope these trade shows never really die out and go full virtual and all that crap, because we need to be around each other. The hunting industry is, people think it's this huge thing. There's like maybe 2,000 people in the whole industry. If you take the decision makers and the media and the people that actually pull the purse string, there's maybe 2,000 to 2,500 people in the entire hunting industry. And we need to stay close. We need to interact and see each other a few times a year and shake hands and hang out at a bar and go to a film festival. You know, remind each other what we're doing all this stuff for, because it's important. Like it's not just a business. It's how we choose to live. And yeah, there's money involved. Sure. So they make money. We need money. We like to make videos. All that goes hand in hand. But at the end of the day, we're all working towards the same thing. And we all like the lifestyle we've chosen with the outdoor industry. And that takes personal interaction. You can't do that on a computer. I mean, this right here, I'd rather be sitting in a room with all three of us having a drink talking. This Zoom stuff is way out of my wheelhouse. This is not comfortable for me. This is weird. And you're older than me, so it's got to be really weird for you, Ted. The Zoom thing's not weird to you. It's weird to me. Like, it feels really weird to me.
So to add to that, how much of one thing I noticed at SHOT is obviously you have everyone getting together at the show, you have crowds there and all that, but a lot of interaction takes place when the show is closed down.
Absolutely.
So, like a couple of guys that I know of went to dinner with one of their sponsors. Did you have that down there at the ATA a lot?
From year one, your deals are not made at the show. They're made at the PBR. They're made at the Howl at the Boom Bar. They're made after the show is done. They're made having drinks later. Badlands Film Festival, you know, that's when all the deals are made. That's when all the business is done.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's been the rule for business as long as business is being done, you know.
Right.
You don't really do it in front of everybody. It's kind of like, hey, let's have a drink later and we'll.
Yeah, going to dinner, go play golf, whatever. Yep.
And everybody's got their own itinerary with that stuff. Like I'd ask people, well, you know, I asked Collins at the Fox Pro booth. I said, hey man, you gonna be at Badlands on Saturday night? We got some steak dinner with such and such. You know, Fox Pro had their dinner set up with the people they needed to talk to. Right. And it was their after the show stuff that was going on, and you know, that was what they did. We go to Badlands, we talk to the people that make films and that we try and learn from, and that's when we do our business. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody has those after hours deals that where you eat before a bourbon, you sit and talk and you go, all right man, I'll give you a call here in about 3 weeks and we'll sort this out.
Right.
How was Badlands this year?
It amazing as always, man. I mean, that I can't really even put that event into words and do it any justice. It makes the hair on your arm stand up. If you don't walk out of there with a little bit of a like quiver to your spine, you're not alive. I mean, it's everybody in that industry in one room, and some of the best filmmakers in the industry putting stuff on a giant screen. It's 100 mile an hour. I mean, it gets your heart beating, dude. I mean, if you're a hunter and you walk in there, you're going to be emotionally charged when you leave.
How many shows they actually have on for the Badlands Festival?
I think this year they took 5, maybe 6 entries for the long feature film competition. I think they took 6 for the short film. It changes every year. They basically decide who they want to let, you know, who they're taking in, and they put them on the screen. So, I've entered twice. I haven't made it yet. I don't take it personal. I still send them a Christmas card. It may be hatefully charged, but I send them a Christmas card. And I'm going to keep entering until I'm the filmmaker that I want to be. And trust me, it's stiff competition. I mean, those guys are amazing. The ones that actually get picked are on a different level than you or I when it comes to editing. Like they do things you and me can't do.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, they've got some decent equipment, but at the same time, they also put together a hell of a story. And it's impressive. It's something to sit and watch and just go, man, maybe someday.
You what know. Is the Badlands film deal? I mean, what is it?
They take submissions all year long for, there's a feature film competition, there's a short film competition. And it's mostly they seem to accept archery kills and archery storylines, things like that. But it's whatever motivates you, whatever drives you when it comes to your hunt and your story. And if you can tell it well enough with film and with voiceover and with videography, then you end up on the screen.
So is it a showcase or is it a competition?
Both.
Okay.
They'll get thousands of submissions. They'll pick maybe a dozen total, and they put them on the big screen, and you vote via cell phone at the competition.
Okay.
And we just sit around and have drinks and watch these badass outdoor films with killer hunts. I mean, the one this year, the guy was on a Kodiak hunt, archery, and he's like spot and stalking up this hill, and he creeps up to about maybe 30 yards from the crest of this hill, and the bear steps up over the hill at 20 yards. Like, 800, 900 pound Kodiak bear steps up over the crest of this hill, and everybody went, and he loses an arrow, and the whole place just blows up. And between the surround sound and the entire place exploding in just the anticipation of that moment, it's just this emotionally charged event that you just can't replicate with anything else. I mean, it's a cool thing you have to be at to really understand what it is. That's why we go everywhere. I mean, there's nothing like it.
Okay.
Well, we're all still working on our filming. We pretty much all three of us started editing stuff about the same time.
Yeah.
You know, our videos, a lot of them are just for more information and kind of fun right now, trying to do better with that. Your videos, you know, you're putting together a show.
Well, we're trying. We fake it real good.
Well, we're going to get some footage this weekend. Tony's coming up here for the weekend. We got the Great Lakes tournament on DNR Sports this weekend. Going to have my brother Ryan with me and Tony. Kevin, who are you hunting with?
Mike and Jeremy.
Okay. Mike Luttrell and Jeremy Kennedy here from Overdrive 2. I don't know if I even named us this year, Tony, but if I did, I think it was just here to donate. Something like that.
I am perfectly okay with it.
But
that's painfully accurate.
Every time.
We should have just named the team, we usually bring one.
And it's a fox.
And it's a fox. Or maybe the team name, at least it wasn't a fox. Maybe that would be the name to get us to a coyote. We brought we didn't bring a coyote last year because we missed check-in.
We got DQ'd.
Yeah, the one year we had a coyote instead of a fox, we didn't make it to check-in.
Well, 2 hours of sleep, it's hard to hit an alarm clock.
Yeah, and we drove 90 mile an hour and missed it by what, 8 minutes?
Yeah, we were almost there.
Yeah, we were almost dead.
So, are you ready for the weekend?
Absolutely, dude. I mean, I've been looking forward to it since the last time we got to hunt it. And that's been, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hunt this damn thing to win it. If we win it, cool. That'd be great.
You got a different icing on the cake.
I just come up here to hunt with you, which is masochistic in its own right, but
a little ridiculous.
I just come up here to hunt with you.
What about you, Kevin? You ready?
As ready as I can be.
Got your snowshoes?
Yeah, I hope I don't have to use them, but we got dumped on pretty good here. And if we had more spots inland like you do, I'd be better off. But most of our spots are out here to the west side, so I think we're going to have to deal with the snow.
Is Kennedy still doing all the taxidermy stuff and everything?
Yeah.
Because I've got a full coyote in my deep freeze, and I want a hat. Like, can he do a hat? Oh, man. I'm jealous, dude. I really am. That's one I have not checked off the list yet.
You're my buddy.
A big old black bear.
Kevin,
and I am absolutely jealous.
That your bear from fall 2021?
No, it's the one previous to that.
Okay.
So this is the second bear I've shot.
Okay.
So the one this year was bigger, right?
Yeah, that was the biggest bear I've gotten.
I was going to say, that thing was a tank.
Yeah.
I saw the picture, I'm like, whoa. Kevin didn't carry it out.
It was sitting next to me, so, I mean, you know, it probably wasn't big. It just looks big next to me. But, yeah, it was big.
Looked like old Balloon would kill the Sasquatch.
But, yeah, he's still doing taxidermy. If you want a hat made, I can put you in touch with the person to make you a hat.
Okay, perfect. I'm gonna dig through the deep freeze and find that coyote. And I don't even know if it's skin. I think it's just a whole coyote frozen. But I want the legs hanging and everything. I'm the head over top of my head and all that.
the one coyote he's killed, he's having turned into a hat.
We gotta be proud of it.
What else am I gonna do with
right.
it? Right. And I didn't even kill that this year. That was last year. I haven't killed one this year.
I need to find a fur buyer.
Talk to Trevor Barnes. He can put you in touch with one.
He should be there this weekend, wouldn't he?
Yeah, either him or Rick, I'm sure, will probably be there, if not both of them.
That whole freezer outside is full to the top. Like, I'm cramming them in now. It's probably got 20 furs in there.
Dude, I dropped 13 off to a guy, one of my landowners that has a taxidermy shop, but he just does it for fun. I dropped like 13 hides off to him a year ago, and I don't know what he's done with any of them.
Yeah.
They're probably still sitting in the freezer.
Well, and I mean, they're not worth anything really to anybody right now, but there's got to be people still buying them up to tan them and turn them around somehow, you know?
But, well, I just want to get them tanned to hang them on the wall.
Oh, yeah, and I've got three of them in my freezer. Carter's first one is still in the freezer that I want to get tanned. And then landowner across the road shot one during gun season. I'm gonna get tanned for him, but I gotta find somebody just to flesh and tan.
You know, you can pay the tanning places to do that. They only charge an extra like $5-10 to do that,
and I just gotta send them to them.
You just bring them the whole coyote.
Well, you can bring them just skin too. They don't have to be fleshed and everything. They'll flesh them for you.
Well, that's the thing, is where though?
Moyle Mink and Tannery.
You just box them up.
Contact them. They usually want them frozen.
Yep.
And they recommend sending them out like on a Monday or Tuesday, so they get them that same week and it doesn't sit over the weekend. But yeah,
put them in styrofoam or anything.
They just want to make sure. That's why they want you to ship them like early in the week, to make sure they get them the same week. They just want them frozen good.
Probably best to like overnight it or something then, really.
Yeah, or just, you know, priority second, third day would be fine.
So for doing that, do you have to provide them with any type of license information?
I don't believe so for coyotes. Now, if you had something different, like a bobcat or something like that, you probably would.
Yeah.
But I don't think you need to for coyote.
Okay. Yeah, I'll talk to Trevor this weekend if he's there, because, I mean, I don't shoot coyotes just to shoot them all the time. I skin the ones that are good, and now it's to the point where I'm like, I almost can't skin anymore because I'm out of freezer space.
But I got a whole stand-up freezer down here. If you'd ever come to visit, you know, I mean, you could bring some down. And
No. Because what you're going to do is have people come into your barn, open up your freezer and say, look at all the coyotes I shot.
Well, yeah. Why? I mean, why wouldn't I?
Well, that one's just Josh. I'm sorry.
And if you need any licensing or anything for getting them tanned, today was my 6-month anniversary as an ordained minister, so I can give you whatever licensing you need.
Not that kind of licensing.
Oh, all right.
You don't do fur harvester, do you?
Well, most ministers are. Never mind. That's a joke for another night.
All right, guys. Well, Tony, we'll see you Thursday.
Yes, sir.
Kevin, we'll
probably
see you
Friday. 8-9 o'clock, but it'd be Thursday evening.
Yeah, I'll make sure the doors are locked.
Okay.
Kevin, we'll see you on Friday at check-in. I think we could take off at, 7:30? I think check-in ends at 7, and you could take off at 7:30, I believe.
Is that what it is? Okay.
And then we're all going to be hunting hard for the weekend and tired as crap on Sunday. But I appreciate both of you guys taking the time out of your night to talk. Tony, like I said, we'll see you on Thursday.
Absolutely, brother. I'll See you then.
Have a good night.